So you've heard this morning that we're going to hear a number of reports, and I'd like to give some theological foundation to these reports. So would you turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and we'll look very briefly at verse 14 to 16. When the Apostle Paul, who loved his churches and shepherded a number of churches, observed fruit in them, he saw that things were going well and that people were making spiritual progress, he would ring the bell. He would bang the drum or blow the trumpet. He wouldn't just rag on them when they were doing poorly and needed to pull up their socks. He would praise them. And of course, all the praise would be reflected to the one who was doing this work. But in almost all of his letters, except for one or two exceptions, Paul makes sure that he tells his people how well they're doing when they're doing well. And he even names people, you know, Phoebe and Tychicus and Onesiphorus. And yes, he also names people who aren't doing so well, Euodia and Syntyche and others. Paul seemed to put it out there. When friends ask me, "So Brian, how's it going at Pacific? You've been there for 5 years now." My answer generally is, well, we're not breaking any speed records, but there's a measure of health and vitality and muscle that's being built that's keeping us in the race, and we're running the race, and I'm very encouraged about that. I think every pastor wants to get to a place in his or her ministry where at a certain point in time they're able to say what Paul says in chapter 4, verse 14, "Then we will no longer be infants." We will have grown up. We will have reached a measure of maturity, no longer tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. But instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ, and from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so I want to say to you today that I feel that by God's grace, we can say that we have grown beyond infancy in a number of areas. And those areas are listed here. We've grown beyond infancy because of a measure of biblical and theological stability, no longer tossed back and forth by winds of doctrine. We've moved beyond infancy because of a growing measure of relational affection and honesty. We are speaking the truth in love to one another. And the trust that's developing among the relationships here means that we can agree to disagree at times. We can have fierce conversations. And instead of it blowing us apart in all kinds of fractured schism, we can actually embrace each other after the conversation because we feel safe enough to agree to disagree. We've moved beyond infancy because there seems to be a growing Christological centrality. I love what it says here. "For in all things we're growing up into him who is the head, that is Christ." And I have a sense that when you come to church, either on Sunday or midweek in whatever ministry you're involved in, you are not depending on the presence of the board or the staff or the senior pastor, or the programs. But there's a growing dependence on Christ himself. He is the one that we are looking to. That's really encouraging to me. And then finally, I believe that we're growing beyond infancy because we're seeing a mutually edifying community. Verse 16, "From Christ, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament, we grow and we build ourselves up in love as each part does its work." And this has been evidenced in so many ways over the last few months and years as you have shown up and have loved Christ and loved the body by using your gift here in this church. Even this week, all week long, I've seen evidence of this mutually edifying community. as five women landed in our home, as they do every Tuesday night for discipleship, as Friday, many of you at Bob's memorial service met with hundreds of other people, many of those people who used to attend Pacific Community Church, and then through the great sadness, they had to leave. And what I saw is you meeting with them in embraces of conciliation and wonderfully redemptive conversations, and even going out for a meal afterwards. The moment that I will not forget is standing talking to the founding pastor of this church, Greg Schroeder, and having his parents come up, and having Greg and I loving his parents together, just considering all the water that's gone under the bridge and how wonderful it was. And it was Bob's death that actually brought all of that together. And I thought, yes, that we are no longer infants. We are growing up into him. Praise be to God. And then yesterday's seminar, a lot of us spent a long day here, actually. And what people didn't know and didn't see is that somebody came to set up the sound system for us. A half a dozen women came to get food and make coffee and tea and set it up beautifully and serve it without even being noticed. A group of men stuck behind afterwards, tore down the table, set up chairs for Sunday. Everybody doing it with joy. Everybody building itself up in love as each part doing its work. And I just went home and just said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for our church. Thank you for what you're doing in our church. And we thought that we would be Pauline in making sure that we take a moment in our year to give God glory by hearing some evidences of what God is up to in our church. So, you all know that the mission in our church is that by the help of the Holy Spirit, we seek to be a worshiping and discipling community that embodies the visible and vocal presence of Jesus in our neighborhoods and nations of the world through transforming relationships of love with God and with one another. And that we're seeking to see that lived out in a five-year vision that has a lot of teeth. We've set goals for ourselves in three areas: personal transformation, neighborhood transformation, and global transformation. And we want to hear some reports about how things are going. So, the first person that I'd like to invite up is Jim, as we hear a little bit about global transformation. Now, I did everything I just did, a four-point expository sermon, introduction and everything, in about, 6 minutes and 42 seconds. I went a minute and 42 seconds over.
Transformation.
I have said to, we've got five people sharing, and what I said is, you have got 5 minutes and not a second more, and if you go over, you will still be loved. But I will get off my stool, and I will make the pastoral walk over to you, and when the hand is on your shoulder, it means, time up, buddy. So,
you're taking my time.
No. I haven't started taping you yet, Jim.
Okay, so, just make sure that.
I love you, by the way.
Yeah, I know you're competitive. You're going to give me 4 minutes. I'm part of the missional team. There's a number of us. We've been well served by many, including Krista Krasnichi and Tim Higginbotham and others. And Tim was going to make this announcement, but his dear wife took him out on a weekend. So I'm making this report on behalf of the missional team. We've been really desirous to partner Pacific with a mission field that's connected to the Christian Missionary Alliance. And we've made a couple of attempts. One was with an Indonesian field, and though we explored it, we came to the conclusion that it wasn't a very good match for us at this time. And so we began working more closely with the Christian and Missionary Alliance and asked, what field could we connect with? They presented us with two options, Cuba and Venezuela. And they're excited because what they're doing in the denomination is creating what they call seamless links. Instead of us supporting a big mutual fund that supports all kinds of missionaries around the world. They want to link local churches with local missionaries on the field doing work so we get more relationship. And so we think this is a really good thing because we'll be able to experience the journey with missionaries on the field and begin to engage in really relevant ways. And so we've talked and talked, and we leaned towards Venezuela. And we've had a number of conversations. We, in fact, got to meet through Skype and through some back-and-forth emails, a couple by the name of Chris and Angela Hebert, who considered the Okanagan their home. So they're like BC people. They got two young kids. They are just starting out on the field. And in Venezuela, they are just beginning. They're learning the language. This is one of the reasons why we like this field. It's an emerging one. There's few relationships of local churches like ours with this field. We think it would be exciting to be on the ground floor of a new move of God in Venezuela, particularly this city called Caracas, a big urban university environment, mostly Catholic. And so we're quite excited about perhaps connecting with this couple and being able to resource them, help them, partner with them, and have them bless us. Second thing that's really exciting is they are adopting a similar mission and vision as we are. So they are hoping to start neighboring groups and connecting with other leaders. They don't see themselves as the primary leaders, but resources who raise up indigenous leaders who will make things happen in the power of the Spirit. And we're thinking, that is really neat. And we can come in not to be the champions, but to be the servants. We like the Heberts. There's the family. Their responses to us was engaging, exciting, and inviting. It was a really good sense. So we feel that we need to make the next step in making this seamless link relationship concrete, this partnership. And so we think after May and before October, two of us should go down to Caracas and solidify this relationship. And so they've asked me to do that, and I'm trying to find room in my calendar. I mean, I have to leave my family and beautiful. And so I accepted that particular, and Tim also. The two of us want to go down, really investigate the field, find connections, and begin to open up some opportunities for us in Pacific. And we want to do that in the next few months. We think it's going to cost around $3,500 to do so. And then we hope to send a couple youth teams down over the next couple of years and stuff like that. And so we think this is a good opportunity that God is leading us to. And we think it's exciting. And we think it's important. It's important to connect with our broader family. And we think it's great to be able to see what the church is doing in other places in the world. And we really sense that there's a mutual connection between Caracas and our growing urban environment here in Surrey. And so this is sort of how we're moving. And we're going to put more information online for you to explore and to consider. And hopefully before the turn of into our new year, September, October, we'll have a solidified sense of moving forward with this ministry team in Caracas.
Jim, looking at Venezuela, are your motives holy for being the one that's going to go down there? I'm questioning you a little bit on that.
It's only 10 miles off the coast. It's in a nice set of mountains.
So you won't get to the beach when you're there.
I'm bringing my paddleboard.
Okay.
Because I'm sure there's some ministry on the beach.
I'm sure there's some beach ministry too. Stay here. This is very exciting. I can hardly wait until this seamless link is actually we're sewn together with them, if indeed God brings us, and you'll come back as spies. But this is a very exciting thing for our church. Micah, would you come up? We're going to move now from global transformation to neighborhood transformation. There's two areas we're going to look at. One is Emmaus groups. And Micah and Jim are going to talk about that. Then Jen is going to come up and talk about VBS this summer. So welcome, Micah, and thanks for your leadership in this whole
Thank
endeavor.
You. Jim, I like green better.
You like the green better?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, I'll take the blue. Blue's my favorite color. Well, we want to tell you about Emmaus groups. Mike is going to try to help me out here. Emmaus groups comes right out of our mission and vision statement, where we seek to be a missional presence right in our neighborhoods. And we want to be able to connect with each other, but in our geographic units. If we live in Walnut Grove, let's connect with people in Walnut Grove and begin as a community of people to be able to prayerfully engage our neighborhoods. And we're a bit of a warehouse church. And
it's okay, Jim. This is a bit more of my idea that I kind of gave to you guys. So can I kind of take over here? The Emmaus groups are, we're going to be getting together for times of discipleship, for prayer, for pastoral care, for ministry in the community around us. We're going to be having a potluck. It's a bit more of a pot scripted, but we'll get together for that. The Emmaus groups will meet about once a month to get together in their communities. And a time of sharing, a really time of getting together and finding out what in the community we need to be caring about.
I'm a little bit stunned here. You know, Mike, I invited Mike to join a coordinating team to help this Emmaus stuff get off the ground, along with Melody Hillman, who did most of the work, Micah, on this board. And, you know, he's an intern for 1 year, and he thinks he can say whatever he wants. But anyways, you can see that we're beginning to make some things happen here in the months of, May and April. We have an info night about Emmaus groups in different places in our sort of catchment, whether in Walnut Grove or South Surrey, etc. And we already have about 7 people that have opened up their homes on particular dates to be able to do something like this. And this is great. And I think what's so amazing is that we really sense that God is moving amongst us. There's a real sense that we need to be moving in this direction. But we have to sort of figure it out, and these info nights are about figuring that out. And so what will happen is that potluck thing, and
before you get too farther along here, you're going to start telling us about your thesis, and I'd love to hear it, just not right now. These info nights are where we're getting together to find out who's coming, how many kids are going to be there, what sort of a place do we need for a permanent home for our Emmaus groups. And we'd like you to come out, tell us what you care about, what's in your community, and where can we fill out our mission and vision within these communities, within these parishes.
Thank you, Micah. Our hope after these info nights, where I will not be talking about my thesis, but by the way, I'm defending it in a week and a half, and I'm done. There. Our hope is by September, we will establish at least 4 Emmaus group starts, hopefully more. And so these info nights will focus some attention about where will they be, who is going to break out with them and begin that. So this is to help us launch into September. And so that's our goal, despite the fact that Micah might get in the way.
But. And after the service this morning, this board that me and Melody put together, I think, Jim, did you do anything on that? No? Okay.
No.
The board will be at the back, and I'll be standing beside it. Jim will be there too, but you probably would rather talk to me. I know a little bit more about what we're doing on these informational nights. So feel free to come to me at the back of the church after the service this morning.
And by the way, we need 2 more homes at least, particularly in the Clayton area. So if you're going back there, we need people that have a larger home that can invite people in, and then we'll put your picture on this board too. So it's really special and it will be a real blessing. Are you done now, Micah?
I am. I think I've shared.
Good. Why don't you sit down? I got to sit down too.
Yeah. Even with you guys clowning around and being smart, Alex, 4 minutes and 28 seconds on that. So way to go. This Emmaus project plan, dream, is the biggest structural, philosophical change that this church has probably ever experienced. This is a completely out-of-the-box way for us to be the church. I'm so excited about our Emmaus group. Honey, are we opening up our home? No, we're not. No. Okay. Too small. Okay. But we're going to be involved. Jen, welcome. Do you have a microphone? Bless you.
I don't know that I'll be as entertaining as those two, but I'll try. I'm really excited about this mission and vision for the neighborhood transformation with VBS. But first, I've got a question for you. Feel free to raise your hand. How many of you have been to a VBS or have had your children go to a VBS or know of a VBS? Raise your hand. There are a lot of hands out there. I'd say the majority of hands. VBS can make an impact in kids' lives. It has. We often, I think, I'm sure we all have memories of the impact and the excitement that has been for us, the memory. What the team is really excited about, and you're going to hear a little passion come out of me here within 5 minutes. But the excitement is, we weren't sure. Like, it's on the mission and vision, it's on the paper, and we were thinking and praying about it. And I actually met with Pastor John prior to the first meeting, and we were sitting and talking. We only had two people signed up, and we thought, you know what, we're going to move in faith and believe that if this is God's plan, it's going to happen for God's timing. We want to bless our neighborhoods, throw this VBS. And so there was a little bit of, to be honest, discouragement in my heart, thinking only two. Well, we'll see what happens. So we had our first meeting. The team showed up. We had 12 people show up that were passionate to see this VBS happen. That, you know how sometimes you have team meetings and you have a few people that come and they're really excited, and then there's other people sometimes that come that say, I want to be excited, but I kind of want to know what it's about. We had the whole team in unity say, yeah, we sense our church is being called to do this. God is calling us. I left that meeting saying, thank you, God. What do you want to do? So I drove home that day. You're going to hear a little bit of my personal testimony. I drove home praying about this VBS, and what came in my heart all of a sudden was Christmas. Christmas? Christmas in July? What does that mean? Well, what all of a sudden came to me was the Christmas Hamper Program. PCC is such a light for Christ with the Christmas Hamper Program. What if we invited these kids, these families, to partake in this exciting thing that God has planned? What if? So I shared it with the team. Unity again, praise God. Yes, we want to do this. We want to invite these children. We want to build a relationship with these children. We want to get to know them. We want to shine Christ's light with these children. Shared it with the staff. I saw eyes light up. Yes. Shared it with a few other people. Yes, praise God. God is doing something. The meetings we've had with these teams, it is so exciting to see the plans unfold and to be able to partner with what God has planned. God has a plan not only for our children in this church, but for children that do not know Jesus. Children perhaps that come from homes that haven't even heard about Christ. VBS is going to be not just a memory, but we are going to be reaching out to our neighborhoods. PCC reaching out to our neighborhoods. Isn't that what Jesus would do? Thank you, Jesus. Would you pray with me quickly for this? Jesus, thank you for how you are stirring our hearts to reach out into our neighborhoods. Thank you for the people that you already know are going to come, the kids that are going to come. Thank you for the Christmas Hamper Program that has happened. Thank you for the relationships that will be built. But most importantly, we thank you for the privilege that our church has to be a light for you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We've wondered how in the world we're ever going to make a connection with these 250 families that receive hampers every year. And this is the way, is by inviting these families' children to VBS. Beautiful link that we see God bringing together. Thanks, Jen and team. Marcus and Tyler, would you come up? One of the areas in personal transformation and seeing adults taking responsibility for their own spiritual lives was the development of small discipleship groups that are very intensive, 6 months long, 4 to 5 people. Last year at this time, we had one group, and our goal was that by the end of next year, we had 10 groups. It was an incredibly lofty goal, but already thanks be to God, right now, we have 13 adult discipleship groups going right now, which is amazing. And this is, Marcus is a second generation now disciple, and Tyler is about to be a second generation disciple. God bless you guys and share what's on your heart.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. When Brian talked about muscle in the church, I think he was actually speaking to this guy alone right here. Yes. Well done. I'm really proud to be part of such an awesome team, and these guys that I'm with right now are just such amazing guys in my life, and just amazing guys seeing what they're doing in the church, so involved, and just the growth that I've experienced and seen in them has been awesome. So I just wanted to talk with Tyler and have him share with you. Tyler, tell us some of the positives about your experience in discipleship.
All right, well, I've enjoyed a lot about the discipleship, but if I had to highlight a few things, one would be prayer. It's been awesome to have a solid group of guys to come to and just pray with every week. And over the past 6 months, I'm pretty sure it's safe to say we've all had things we need to pray for, big and small. And so it's been great just to bring those to the table in the morning and know you have some great guys praying for you and over you. And yeah, I just feel super blessed to have that. And it's also taught me to pay attention to the little things that you ask for God that can be forgotten so quickly, like a good rest or energy throughout the day. And when you bring that to the table, the guys are asking you the next day, oh, how was your sleep? Or, you know, how was your energy levels? And you quickly realize that, you know, God is answering even your little prayers. And also the friendships that I've built. It's been great to connect with some guys that just are in love with God. And it's friendships that I've wouldn't have made if it weren't for, you know, the discipleship, and we wouldn't have that deep connection. So it's been definitely a blessing to have that too.
And what would you say is some of the growth that you've seen in your faith, maybe, that you'd like to share?
Well, coming into this, I knew I loved God, I knew I had a relationship with Jesus, but at times I felt it tough to explain my faith. It made sense in my head, but to get it out in words, it was tough sometimes. And working through this discipleship and working through the book, it really forces you to think and look and write down and discuss, you know, what you believe. And, you know, through the past 6 months, it's been very helpful. I've grown a lot, and I feel way more confident in my faith and talking about it. And, yeah, I just love that part.
And finally, what would you say to the many people out there who have heard about discipleship, who are thinking about discipleship, but are maybe a little bit hesitant, don't know what to do as the next step, or just maybe think, is it really for me? I'm just not sure.
Well, I'm going to say, if you're thinking about it, you can probably find 100 reasons why you shouldn't do it and why you can't, why you don't have time. But I'm just going to say, stop hesitating and do it, because we're all busy, and you're going to miss out on a great opportunity to meet some awesome people in our church and really grow in your faith.
Amen. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thanks.
So Tyler and Kimberly are youth staff, and so Tyler's a really busy guy because he works with the teenagers here. And you're going to share a little bit about what's going on with both junior and senior high.
Yes, I am. So Tyler's going to stay up here. And in just a second, I'm going to invite some of the other youth who are going to be coming up. But I wanted to share with you guys what has been going on with the youth so far. So in the past few months, we meet on Thursday nights, and it's been going really well. We have a number of students who come out, a number of them who are sitting here today. And in the last couple weeks, there's been a number of things going on. With the junior high, we went to laser tag, and it was a great opportunity for students to be inviting their friends and for those friends to be able to get to know some of the people here, some of the leaders, and things like that. So it was a great time, and I was winning in the second game up until the junior high girls decided to team up on me, so all of them. So if you have a junior high girl, I recommend talking to them about fairness and fair play. Just clearly unfair. And then this last weekend was a big youth conference that we went to with the senior highs, which is grade 10 to 12. So if I get all those who actually went on the trip to come up here, that would be great. So we had a number of students, and actually this Sunday falls right in the middle of spring break. So we are missing a number of them. There is Chris Polgard and Matthew Seams and Courtney Petrunia who weren't able to be here today. But these are some of the students that went, and actually one of our leaders is actually doing PowerPoint right now, Jeevan, which is great. So you all sent us off there with a generous gift to get us there. We did a pie auction fundraiser, and that went really well. And so we wanted to come back and report and let you know what happened. And so this youth conference was in Calgary. We took a bus all the way up there, which was a long, 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 long drive. And the conference was entitled Between Two Trees, which is sort of what I am standing here right now, is between these two plants. And it represented the story in Genesis between the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, sort of obedience and disobedience, life and death. So I'd just like to ask a couple of our students some simple questions about the conference to give you guys a little bit of an idea of you know, why we went and maybe some ideas of would we go back and why would we do that. So maybe a couple of you, what was your favorite part of the weekend?
My favorite part of the weekend was entertainment night, and we would all get together, and like all the students from Ambrose, they would put on skits and stuff, and it was really entertaining.
My favorite part was painting a mural on one of the windows in the school of two trees, of the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was a lot of fun.
My favorite part was the rallies. They're pretty interesting.
I'm speaking on behalf of Courtney Petrunia, who couldn't be here, and she says that her favorite part was being around so many teenagers of her age all coming together and worshiping God. It was amazing to see so many teens who love God and put their trust in Him and faithfully follow Him. It was very inspirational and a huge motivation for her to see that, and it helped her in her own personal walk with God.
That is great. All right, what is something that you took away from this conference? What is something you learned?
Something I learned at the conference was that it's really important for us to share Jesus with others. In a way, it's sort of guilty to know Jesus and not tell other people about Him.
I learned that the key element to eating from the tree of life instead of the tree of knowledge of good and evil is to remain in Jesus and like live with Him and by Him, and then, yeah, it's better.
We got to know more about Jesus and more about ourselves too, which is pretty interesting.
It was a huge overall confirmation for Courtney. She learned that living between the tree of life and the tree of death is not easy, and we are very easily tempted. But surrendering our lives to God, He can guide us down the right path and will lead us home to heaven. Just to clarify this next section, we had a part where we all had little white flags, and we were supposed to plant them in surrender of our time or whatever was leading us away from the tree of life. And so she said that surrendering her life to Him and her future to Him and trusting that He will always guide her through the ups and downs that comes in her life.
All right. And really, what is the least amount of sleep you got tonight?
The least amount of sleep that I got was around 5 hours on the night before we left.
Yeah, that night was pretty annoying. There was a lot of distractions and stuff, so, yeah.
We'd always watch movies in our room, and apparently we were the loudest of them all.
We realized, us girls, we were all in the same room, and we realized the last night that we couldn't actually turn the lights off ourselves. We had to wait for someone who went to the college to, like, swipe the lights to turn them off. So as we sat there, wide awake, late in the night, wanting to go to sleep but couldn't because the lights were still on, and we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, so very little sleep, which is great. It's great. Lots of fun. Would you go back, and why?
I would definitely go back because it was super fun and it was really like cool to meet like a whole bunch of like young Christian people because they don't get to do a lot of that where I live.
Yeah, I'd totally go back. It was like a growing experience for me.
Yeah, I would go back to learn more, I guess.
Definitely would go back. At the end of the weekend, we were all talking about how awesome the weekend was and how much we would love to go back. It was such a great experience, and I feel stronger in my faith more now than ever. I have a renewed love for God and a heart for those who have fallen away from Him and those who have not had the chance to know Him. I want to show others the love of God so that they know He is the way, the truth, and the life. So I'm really looking forward to next year.
That is great. Well, let's give them all a hand. That's really hard to. So you guys can all take a seat. And yeah, so that's what's been going on with the youth.
Nice job. And last week, we talked about the kitchen for about 10 minutes. Gave you an update. If you weren't here, we can give you information on that or just go online. Even after last week, there have been some very exciting movements in the kitchen. With some businesses coming on board, some checks arrived. Last week in the books, I saw that an extra 9,000 had come in from you this week. And so this has been very, very encouraging, and we've got another 5 weeks to go. So we'll continue to trust God together for all the money to come in, and for God to give us direction as we move forward with the kitchen, which is such an important part of our neighborhood transformation. Well, praise God for what He's doing in our church. Let's thank Him. Would you bow in prayer? And Father, there are so many other things that are happening that weren't able to be shared today. Other exciting ministries that are moving forward. And we just want to say that none of this would be possible without the work of your Holy Spirit in our midst. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to the earth and riding into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey as our humble king. Thank you for modeling to us what it means to reflect the Father's love. Thank you for defeating death by dying on the cross. Thank you for rising from the dead as you said you would to defeat sin and death. And we honor you as the one who is reigning and ruling the universe right now and overseeing the church worldwide. We praise you for your advancing kingdom in so many ways, and especially today in the stories that we've heard from our brothers and sisters. And we pray that you would continue to allow us as a church to grow spiritually and to have that growth burst out so that we actually embody the vocal and visible presence of Jesus in our neighborhoods and nations of the world. We pray for all of those families that are going to be receiving a phone call, families that we know because of the Hamper program. And we pray that instead of there being fear and a pushback response, that they would sense the love of Christ in the voices of those calling and that they would see that this is going to be a great opportunity for them to send their kids. So make every rough place plain and every crooked place straight. Do this also for the Emmaus ministry as we launch. Superintend for those that are being called to open up their homes, those who are being called to give some leadership. Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers into the harvest field. And we also, as a church today, continue to cast our many cares upon you, knowing that you care for us. We lift up all of the worn out and discouraged parents. Parents of small children who are finding the pressure overwhelming. And parents of those of us who have kids that have grown up and Perhaps our children are not in a place that we'd like to see them in. Oh Lord, instead of us flying apart in frustration and anger, would you knit the hearts of moms and dads, husbands and wives tightly together? And may we lean on you in new ways during this harrowing trip that we call parenting. We lift up to you our singles that at times experience great loneliness. We pray for our seniors with increasingly failing health issues. And for those caring for our seniors, we pray for those here doubting your existence right now. And if not that, doubting your presence and touch in their lives. We pray for those who are struggling to discover their life's calling and are confused. We pray for those that are right now so busy with studies that they can hardly catch their breath. We pray for your mercy for all of these people. We pray for those here that are discouraged by their own failure or the failure of somebody close to them. We pray for those who are working hard but somehow feel the lack of support of others and they feel alone in their suffering. And we feel and pray and lift up those who are suffering fresh loss. We pray for Carol, Barb, David, Tim, Lois, Vi, the grandchildren, the spouses. We pray for Joe, for Carl. We pray for others who we know are struggling with some physical ailments now. We pray for Krista and Chavat as they continue to walk this journey with Krista. And we pray that as you provided healing to Kathy, that your healing power would also flow into all of those now that are reaching out and saying, Lord Jesus, would you touch my body? May your healing power flow into our church. And Lord, we know that as there are minor successes along the way, there is going to be an opportunity for us to pat ourselves on the back or to become proud. But Lord, on the other hand, we know that at times church life and just life in general is so difficult that without encouragement, some will turn back in despair. So help us to find the healthy balance between encouragement and reality. Lord, we know how weak we are and how much we need you, and so we turn to you now as we come to the table. Father, thank you for blessing us with the life of Jesus. Jesus, thank you for giving your life on the cross for us. And thank you for blessing us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, now as we continue in worship at the table. Would you fill up the empty parts of our lives? We ask you to forgive our sins as we have failed you this week. And we pray that you would restore our broken relationships with you and with one another. We pray that you would enlarge our vision for the world and that you would help us as a church to continue to be a good partner with you as your kingdom advances in so many areas here and abroad. We also pray for all of those spots in the world right now where Christians are on the front line of some kind of political, military, or spiritual battle. And we pray that all of the spiritual weapons of warfare that have been given to them would be theirs and that they would put on the armor of God and that you would help them to be faithful in the fight. May your kingdom expand worldwide today as your church gathers and prays. We desperately need you. We love you. Help us to love you more and serve you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.